Are we ready to begin? Good morning, everyone. Welcome. So glad to see everybody got out on this cold, cold winter morning. Coldest one so far, I think. Maybe we'll get snow for Christmas. We gather in Jesus' name. We enter into God's gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. I do want to just take a minute to welcome any first-time visitors that we have. If you are a first-time visitor, will you please raise your hand? No first-time visitors. Any visitors that have been here before and are visiting with us again? Regular crew this morning. That's good, too. Please just take a few minutes and look through your bulletin this morning about any special announcements. There's information in the bulletin about the Christmas Eve communion. And some things are going to be coming up in the next few weeks and on into the first of the year. Also, just real quick, I want to encourage everyone to, if you'll see in the bulletin, it talks about the committees for 2005. And just everyone, just consider serving on a committee. I did that prayerfully last year, and I think I failed miserably. But that's okay, because I'm going to try again this year. And I don't think I had found my spot, so I'm going to look into something else. So, you know, just jump in there, and if you feel the need, go ahead and, you know, commit to a committee and see. You may be able to bring glory to God in surprising ways that you're unaware of. So do consider that prayerfully over the next few weeks for the closing of the year. Also, please register. The registration book should be in the pews. And if you are the first to register, please write at the top that it's the 10:15 service. And we're going to just pause for a moment of silent prayer. If you could please just bow your heads and worship God. Amen. Okay.
Just here for coffee morning. A member of the Bellevue Church, Bellevue City Church, the ones that stopped by and have these cookbooks that are used as a fundraiser, front reveal that sanctuary down in the 5 and 6, and they're out there in the
It's the Bellevue Cumberland Presbyterian Church cookbook, and they're $10 each. And again, all that money is going to go to the church to help them rebuild their sanctuary. Yes, Jamie? You're going to make me cry. Can you cry? Okay, now. Well, y'all, wait. So, got a group. Okay. I'm so excited for y'all. I'll give you a hug in a few minutes. Okay. Where are we? Having a baby. We prayed, and now we're going to sing. Soft tips. Thank you. Our call to worship is listed in your bulletin on the left at the bottom, and it is responsive. Please join me. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights. Praise Him, all His angels. Praise Him, all His hosts. Praise Him, His sun and moon. Praise Him, all you shining stars. Praise Him, you highest heavens and your waters above the heavens. Let us praise the name of the Lord.
Let's all stand and turn in your hymnals, if you will, please, to hymn 125. 125, Joy to the World.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive. And heaven and nature sing. Joy to the earth will be your reign. Let vendors on their floor, while fields and floods, rocks, hills and plains, repeat the sounding joy. Repeat the sounding joy. Repeat, repeat the sounding joy. No more let sins or sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make His blessings flow. Far as the curse is found. Rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glory of His righteousness, wonders of His love, and wonders of His love, and the wonders won.
Let us bow for prayer. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we come into Your house today to worship You in truth and in spirit. Lord, we pray for Your Spirit to so move in each of us that we will have an encounter with You. Lord, an encounter through Your Son, Jesus Christ. And Lord, we pray for every aspect of this service, every song, every announcement, every move that is made, that Lord, that we can do it all for Your honor and for Your glory, to lift up Jesus. And Lord, we thank You for Jesus coming to be our Savior, and we pray in His name, praying even as He taught us to pray, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated.
Turn in your hymnals now, if you will, please, to hymn 128. We're going to sing verses 1 and 2. Hymn 128.
It came upon a midnight clear, that glorious song of old, from angels bending near the earth to touch their hearts of gold. He taught the earth goodwill to men from hands of gracious King. The world in solemn stillness lay to hear the angels sing. Still through the cloven skies they come with peaceful wings unfurled, and still their heavenly music flows for all the weary world. Above its sad and lonely place they bend a lovering wing, and ever o'er his bowels sound the blessed angels sing.
We express our faith in God with our statement of faith, the Apostles' Creed. It is on page 716, and the hymnal is also posted behind me. Please join me. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be,
in your hymnals again, if you will, please. Hymn 147. All of our hymns and the selected verses that we're singing today are going in line with Brother Larry's message. So if you're wondering why we chose just certain verses of certain songs, that's the reason. So they would go along with his message. Silent Night, all verses.
Silent night, holy night, all is dark, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant so tender and mild, sweet and heavenly peace, sweet and heavenly peace. Silent night, holy night, shepherds wait.
Now, would the children please come down front and do it carefully? There's fire. Andrea's down here waiting on y'all. You gonna steer them? Where is mine? Jackson, y'all, be careful, careful, careful.
Good morning. Because you won't be here together on Christmas morning, right? Because it falls on Saturday. So we're going to do two candles today. The first one is the pink candle. And the pink candle stands for peace. And I thought a lot about that this week because I have to admit, I got caught up in all the hustle bustle this week. One day I made the mistake of going out at lunchtime to try to buy a Christmas gift in Cool Springs, and oh my goodness, that was the worst mistake I could have made. I was about to have a nervous breakdown by the time I got back to the office, because first of all, I couldn't get back to the office. Traffic, I've never seen so much traffic. It was just crazy. And I just was like, oh, flustered. But anyway, like I got thinking, this is not what it's all about. If I never get that Christmas present, it's okay, because this is not the reason for the season. I had to remind myself of that. Friday night, we had a dinner for the band that my son-in-law is in. And Friday night was the only night that all four of them and their spouses and girlfriends could get together. But we got it together. Friday night was usually not good for me, because I've had a wild day at work usually, and to get home in time and get dinner ready and everything is pretty crazy. But we did it. And when we stopped to pray together, I thought, this is the peace. This is the peace that Jesus brings to us. This is the peace, and this is what the season is all about. So today we're going to go ahead and light that candle for peace. Remember, we got faith, love, joy, peace. Now the candle in the middle. Larry's going to help me hand these out to you in just a second, but I want to talk to you about this. The candle in the middle is the Christ candle. And I always like to use the candy cane as an example of this. First of all, when you look at the shape of this candy cane, what letter does that look like?
J.
J for Jesus, okay? J for Jesus. Okay, if we turn it up this way, does it remind you of anything?
No.
The shepherd, there you go, the shepherd's staff, right, that they had, okay, and the shepherds were the first ones to see the star announcing Jesus' birth, right, okay, then the red on the candy cane, Jesus shed a lot of blood on the cross for us, and he died on the cross for us, and the three stripes also represent the fact that he was beaten, died for our sins, and that's what it's all about. He came to earth as a small baby, but he didn't stay a baby, did he? He grew up, and he grew up for the purpose of giving us the greatest gift of all, and that was what did Jesus do? Eternal life, right? If we just believe in him, that's right. He came to give us eternal life. And that's what Christmas is all about, that he shed that blood for us. He shed that blood, and the white part represents Christ, because his blood washes us and makes us pure and white. That's what it does for us. And we can only have that through him. So we're going to light the Christ candle, and then we're going to do something with Miss Nellie and Mr. Larry can help me give each one of them. We're going to do something. Okay, we'll do it actually. Okay. We'll do a prayer and then we'll do the candy cane. But remember this candy cane not only because it's a great candy cane at Christmas, but remember that it helps you share the greatest story ever. The best, the truth. This is what we need to share with people. The story of Jesus and what Jesus has done for us and what he can do for them too. Can you do that for me? Okay. Miss Sally, what were those things?
Well, it's been my experience running with little ones, but not many little ones, sing Away in the Manger anymore. But it is a very good song for little ones to learn. But the congregation will sing with us when we sing Away in the Manger. Hopefully this group knows it, or at least will learn it.
And y'all can stay right here, and y'all can see after that. Can we do that?
With the Lord Jesus laying down his sweet head, I'm finding the sky, look down where he lay. With the Lord Jesus asleep on the hay.
Let us be strong in your love and go out and spread that good news. We have a good news for the best piece of all this year. Amen. And I'm going to ask y'all to do one more thing for me.
Oh, yeah.
today is my daddy's birthday. And so, I mean, this is the actual day. So, can we say happy birthday to him?
Sure.
Nancy, if you'll come forward. Nancy has a special message this morning. I think she discovered it a few years ago, but she wants to share it. We've already shared it once, and it has a great message to it.
And for those of you who see me standing up here every week, this is the good woman behind me. If you didn't know my wife, we very seldom ever see each other together at church. This is my wife.
This is titled Count Your Blessings, and it has a subtitle, Acknowledgements. I dreamt that I went to heaven, and an angel was showing me around. We walked side by side inside a large workroom filled with angels. My angel guide stopped in front of the first section and said, "This is the receiving section. Here are all petitions to God said in prayer are received." I looked around in this area, and it was terribly busy with so many angels sorting out petitions written on large paper sheets and scraps from people all over the world. Then we moved on down a long corridor until we reached the second section. The angel then said to me, "This is the packaging and delivery section. Here are the graces and blessings the people ask for are processed and delivered to the living persons who ask for them." I noticed again how busy it was there. There were many angels working hard at the stations, since so many blessings had been requested and were being packaged for delivery to Earth. Finally, at the farthest end of the long corridor, we stopped at the door of a very small station. To my great surprise, only one angel was seated there, idly doing nothing. "This is the acknowledgement section," my friend quietly admitted to me. He seemed embarrassed. "How is that? There's no work going on here," I asked. "So sad," the angel sighed. "After people receive the blessings that they ask for, very few send back acknowledgments." "How does one acknowledge God's blessings?" I asked. "Simple," the angel answered. "Just say, 'Thank you, Lord.'" "What blessings should they acknowledge?" I asked. "If you have food in your refrigerator, clothes on your back, a roof overhead, and a place to sleep, you are richer than 75% of this world. If you have money in the bank, in your wallet, and spare change in a dish, you are among the top 8% of the world's wealthy. And if you get this on your own computer, you are part of the 1% in the world who has that opportunity. Also, if you woke up this morning with more health than illness, you are more blessed than the many who will not even survive this day. If you have never experienced the fear in battle, the loneliness of imprisonment, the agony of torture, or the pangs of starvation, you are ahead of 700 million people in the world. If you can attend a church meeting without fear of harassment, arrest, torture, or death, you are envied by and more blessed than 3 billion people in the world. If your parents are still alive and still married, you are very rare. If you can hold your head up and smile, you are not the norm. You are unique to all those in doubt and despair. If you can read this message, you just received a double blessing in that someone was thinking of you as very special, and you are more blessed than over 2 billion people in the world who cannot read it all. Have a good day, count your blessings, and if you want to pass this along to remind everyone else how blessed we all are, attention, acknowledgement department. Thank you, Lord, for giving me the ability to share this message and for giving me so many wonderful people to share it with.
Thank you, Nancy. We express our thanks to God through our offertory giving. Will our ushers please come forward?
Heavenly Father, we are so blessed by all
Our scripture lesson today comes from Luke 1, 26 through 38, and also Luke 2, 3 through 20. In the sixth month, God sent an angel, sent the angel Gabriel of Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be barren is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. And in Luke 2, "And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judah, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloth and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living in the fields nearby, keeping watch over the flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger.' Suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests.' When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.' So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told." The word of God for the people of God. Praise be to God.
Why do we have Christmas? Why do we have Christmas? Why did Jesus come to earth? Why did he come? Think about it. Certainly it was for more than. Even a much nobler cause than to give a reason for the annual exchange of gifts. But if you watched television, every newscast has something about making sure that every child has a gift. Every family has a food box. And people run out to buy gifts on their lunch hour and get stuck in traffic. Why did Jesus come to earth? Certainly to provide more than a shopping season at the end of a destitute year, as prophets go in the commercial world. To provide a profit margin for what is otherwise a low profit year. And certainly he came for a greater reason than to call us together for an annual Christmas party, be it at the office or somewhere else. And even for that noble purpose of having a Christmas pageant. And last Sunday evening we were blessed with two. A middle school pageant and a blessed event. Written and performed by middle school students. Following that we had the children's pageant. Another blessed event. A noble cause. A noble event. But Jesus came for a more noble purpose than to give us something to base the annual Christmas program on. Why did Jesus come to earth? What was his purpose? The answer is in your Bible. He came for more than one reason. Either he said it of himself or someone said it of him, and it got recorded in the Bible. That he came and one said he came to preach. I think he said he came to preach. To preach the good news of the kingdom of God. One verse says that he came to reveal the Father. God the Father. Another verse says that he came to be king. Another one says that he came to bring judgment. We'd like to forget that part, wouldn't we? And another that he came to serve. Another statement, phrase, verse. He came to show God's love. And the list goes on with the reasons that Jesus came. I found one list. Somebody had listed 15 reasons why Jesus came. I looked a little further and someone listed 21 reasons why Jesus came. But that was not all of them.
The most often stated reason in the Bible. What's the most often stated reason in the Bible? God's Word. For why Jesus came. That reason is to save us from our sins. To save us from our sins. That's the overarching reason. He came to preach to the sinner that they might turn to Him for salvation. He came to warn about the judgment that was to come. Judgment for our sins. He came to reveal a loving, forgiving Father who would forgive us our sin. But He came, overarching reason, the ultimate reason, you might say, the highest reason, He came to save us from our sins. John the Evangelist. St. John, we call him St. John the Evangelist, referred to as the beloved disciple. He said it. That He came to save us from our sin, as did the Apostle Paul. And likewise, Simon Peter. And Jesus Himself. To seek and to save the lost. To save us from what? From our sin. What's the problem with sin? Why do we need to be saved from sin? Why don't we just enjoy it? Live with it and accept it? The answer to that is that sin separates us from God. And we don't want to be separated from God very long. Especially we don't want to be separated from God eternally. Because that's not fun at all. If we take away all that God provides, we don't want to live there, do we? To be forsaken of God, it caused Jesus Himself to cry, my God, why have You forsaken Me? As He hung on the cross, suffering for man's sin and paying for man's sin. Sin separates us from God, our loving Heavenly Father. Forgiven of that sin, we can come boldly, and we do come boldly, yet humbly, into the presence of God. The woman at the well, do you remember her? Her experience, her meeting with Jesus is recorded in John chapter 4. She was a Samaritan woman, I believe. She lived in the town of Sychar. And Jesus and His disciples approached the town. There was a well outside the town. Jesus stayed there at the well while the disciples went into town to buy some provisions, some food. He didn't want to go to McDonald's that day. He'd rather have a little picnic. So they went in to buy the food, and while there, this woman came to the well at an unusual time for women to come to the well, because she was a woman that had a bad reputation and a bad life. Her reputation was built on her life. Or was based on her life. And she didn't come at the time other women came to the well because they probably were looking down at her. She was not a very nice lady according to the thinking of the people of the day. And she liked to marry men and did not marry some of them. But she liked men. Or maybe she hated them and we don't know. But she was with a lot of men in an unholy way. She met Jesus there at the well. John chapter 4, you can read about it. After a lengthy conversation back and forth, she experienced God's forgiveness. She experienced forgiveness for her sin. And then there was that man Zacchaeus. We sent the children out, but even us older children know about Zacchaeus, the wee little man who climbed up in the sycamore tree. He wanted to see Jesus as He came by. He was a known for his crookedness. He even confessed it, admitted it. He was a sinful tax collector that not only collected taxes. Wow, where did I get that? Collected taxes for the Roman authorities, but he cheated them. He charged more taxes than he was supposed to. And see, they couldn't say anything, really, because the Roman soldiers were there to take them out and deal with them if they questioned. And he admitted later. But he met Jesus, and Jesus went home with him. He had this encounter with Jesus, and he experienced the forgiveness of God. He knew why Jesus had come to earth. John chapter 19. And then there was this woman caught in adultery. Caught in the very act, the scriptures say. So there had to be a man, even a known man involved if she was caught in the very act. But they didn't do anything with the man. I guess they said, go hide or something, or come with us and we'll stone the lady. And they were about to stone her to death for this sinful thing. And Jesus came on the scene and Jesus said, which of you are without sin? You cast the first stone. And they all dropped their stones and turned away and kind of sneaked off into the community. And Jesus forgave her sin. She knew something about why Jesus came to earth. She had this personal encounter. And then there was another one, probably the worst of the crowd, this crazy man who lived in the cemetery. They'd try to chain him up with chains, and he was so mean and wild and strong that he could break the chains. They couldn't control him, so they just left him out in the cemetery to live among the dead. And Jesus came to town, and it was Gadara or Gergesenes, according to which gospel you're reading, how they spell it. And Jesus cast the demon out. Cast them into some swine. And the neighbors didn't like it because it killed all their hogs. They were certainly not Jewish neighbors or were not raising hogs for the Jewish community, were they not, because they didn't eat the pigs, the swine. But anyhow, they had the swine, and he cast the demons into the swine. The swine ran off the cliff and killed themselves. And so the profit for that year was gone. But this man was freed of his demons. And he sat at Jesus' feet and then wanted to go with Jesus on his mission trip as Jesus left the town. He wanted to be a missionary. Now, he really wanted to follow along with Jesus and learn from him and experience his continual presence. But Jesus says, no, I have a job for you to do. Go home and talk to your friends and witness there. But he came. Jesus came to save sinners from their sin. I just gave four examples. There are so many more in the Bible. But we know of so many more through history. He came to provide forgiveness, redemption, and he came to give us life eternal, life everlasting, life that will never end in the presence of God in that blessed place that we refer to as heaven. The Bible calls heaven. Now, to experience the forgiveness that Jesus provides for all who would have it, to experience the forgiveness or the salvation, call it which one you like, that Jesus provided when he died on Calvary, I'm convinced that one must have a personal encounter with Jesus. We can't just let me tell you about him and you experience it. And we can't just hear what grandmother did and then experience the salvation. We need that personal encounter ourselves. And it's the church's glorious opportunity. It's the church's glorious opportunity to provide people with an encounter with Jesus. And whatever else the church does, that is our responsibility. Jesus does the saving, but we provide an encounter with Jesus. Or we should do it. Or we try to do it. We have the glorious opportunity. I started out thinking we have the responsibility and we have the duty and we have the task and the job of providing this opportunity. And driving down the road somewhere along the way, in the middle of the week, it came, no, don't call it those things. Call it a glorious, we'll call it an opportunity. And they call it a glorious opportunity. We have this wonderful opportunity to share Jesus with sinful man. That they might have this personal encounter and experience the forgiveness of sin and be blessed with the gift of eternal life under the reign of God the Father and Jesus the Son. So it's a church's opportunity, the church's responsibility, if you need that kind of word, to provide this encounter or to get people together with Jesus. Or to get people and Jesus together where they can have an encounter. The church. The church can provide a life-changing, practical encounter and an ongoing relationship with the living God as He, God, is revealed in the person of Jesus Christ, who is Emmanuel, God with us. My goal, my hope this morning, bear with me, my goal and my hope this morning, my desire this morning is to present Jesus. Hope I'm kind of presenting Him every Sunday, but we really centered in on this morning. To present Jesus. Not just the Jesus of Christmas. But this morning, I want to present Jesus in a rapid-fire way, it turns out being, hopefully, and present the Jesus of history, throughout history. And if you are not a believer, if you have not trusted Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, if you've not claim the forgiveness that He provides for you. If you have not trusted Him to save you, to forgive you of every sin that you have ever committed, I hope and pray that this will be the day that you will trust Him as you meet Him. Maybe, just maybe, you will hear something or see something this day. That particular thing that you needed that will bring you to a personal encounter with Jesus. And maybe this will be the day that you're open to the Spirit speaking to you that will lead to a salvation experience if it hasn't happened yet. Lead to your being saved, forgiven, and made into a new person. Slide one, Gary. I invite you first to encounter the Christ of creation. And think of John 1, the Gospel of John, the first chapter, and the first verse. In the beginning was the Word. And where it says Word, in the beginning was Jesus. And Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. In the beginning, at creation. At creation, Jesus was present. And who is this Jesus we're talking about? God, who was present at creation. Actually, He was doing the creating. And we see Him as the historical Jesus, as God putting on a human body and coming to earth. Do you know the Jesus? Have you encountered the Jesus of creation? Slide 2. They invite you to encounter the Christ of Christmas. We read it in our scripture lesson. We've been dealing with it for weeks. We encountered Him last Sunday night at the children's program and the young people's program. The Christ of Christmas. The lesson just gives a part of that message. Meet the angel Gabriel, if you will. The Gabriel, angel named Gabriel, coming to give a message to Mary. The message that she would be the mother of the Savior. The Savior of the world. Then, if the angel brought a message to Mary, meet Mary, the mother, Blessed Mary, the Virgin, impregnated by the Holy Spirit, the one who would bring Jesus into the world and care for Him, beloved, highly favored. And then meet the shepherds, if you will. The shepherds who were watching their flock. Farmers out in the fields. And angels. The angels that came and sang to the shepherds and told them about the birth of Jesus and what it all meant. And then move to Matthew chapter 1 and 2, if you will, and see the star. The Bethlehem star, we call it. Then the wise men who were guided by the star. And then read of King Herod. The fear that Herod caused among the people. The message through a dream to the wise men. And back to Luke, see the stable. The humble beginnings for Jesus in this world. Jesus Himself as a baby. A Savior born as a baby. The Christ. The Christ of Christmas. Slide 3. I want you to meet the Christ of community. The Christ that came dealing with people. The community in which He lived. And the community in which He grew up or traveled. As a young man, and then as a minister. The Christ we see in community, traveling to Jerusalem and in the temple at the age of 12, listening and asking questions. And He said it being about His Father's business. Going through the Gospels, we can see His actions. His deeds, His miracles. We can hear His words or read His words. We can read His teachings and hear Him speak to us. We can see Him walking on water, giving sight to the blind, calming a storm, even with His hand. We can see Him enabling the deaf to hear, even the dead to live again. We can see Him causing the lame to leap, and the dumb to speak. And then we encounter the Christ of Calvary. His arrest. His trial. His punishment for our sin. Not His own. He had no sin. Paying for our sin. We can see Him forsaken of God. And crying out, Father, why have You forsaken Me? And then His death and His burial. Finally, we see Christ Jesus crowned for centuries without end because death could not hold Him. Death could not contain Him. The grave could not keep Him. Yes, He arose. The cry of Easter, He arose. He's alive. He lives. He lived on earth for 40 days. After He arose from the dead, He was seen by over 500 people. They had an encounter, can you believe it? Especially Mary in the garden and Peter and John as they went and found the empty tomb and the people in the upper room and Thomas as he had expressed his doubt and Peter along the seashore and they went fishing in the last chapters of the Gospel of John. Oh, they had an encounter. Then we see Jesus ascending to heaven, where He is King of kings and Lord of lords. With a promise, He ascended with a promise to return. Gather His people.
those who trust Him and believe Him. Those who have claimed Him as their Savior and Lord. Yes, He's promised to return and to take us to that blessed place where He has promised that we can spend eternity around the throne of God doing those things that make us so happy. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, if He be lifted up, if Jesus be lifted up, He would draw all people unto Himself. And He was lifted up on Calvary. He was nailed up on a cross, or nailed to a cross, and the cross was lifted up. But we've tried to lift Him up to you today. Through Word, through Scripture, through spoken Word, through picture, through song. Now we're going to lift Him up through another song. Will you listen?
Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will calm a storm with His hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? When you kiss your little baby, you kiss the face of God. The blind will see, the deaf will hear, and the dead will live again. The lame will leap, the dumb will speak, the praises of the baby boy is Lord of all creation. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb? This you're holding is the great I.
That you have had a life-changing experience with Jesus. If not before today, then today. And if you haven't before today, I ask the question, are you ready to trust Jesus?
to save you, to forgive you. And if so, this be your initial step, response to the Jesus who came to save. And your initial step to say, I accept, I claim, I receive salvation, forgiveness, eternal life. If that would be you today, come here to the altar and share that with us as we sing. And the rest of us will be challenged through the song to tell the story that others out in the world may have that life-changing encounter, that salvation experience through an encounter with Jesus. The song is 138, and let's stand together and sing all the verses.
Oh, heaven of a mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Oh, tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born.
We just thank you for sending Jesus to be our Savior, to save us from our sins. Give forgiveness. And Lord, in His name, we commend this service to you. And these your people. Watch over us, protect us, uphold us, strengthen us for your honor and your glory. Amen.
King of heaven. Thank you.